The second person I want you to meet is Catherine Franks. Catherine has been to Africa 3 times and with Justin is planning to return next year for 4 months to help the EHC humanitarian projects as part of completing her university degree in community welfare and international social development, which will enable her to more effectively help every home for Christ. Here is Catherine.
Many of you may have read the article I wrote on what EHC is doing in Malawi in the current newsletter. If you have, I pray that you have been touched by the lives of the Malawian people and that you are also encouraged by what you have helped to do through your generosity. Let me take a few moments of your time to share about my experience in Malawi and what Every Home for Christ is doing there. I had no idea of the scope and the impact EHC has on people's lives until I arrived in Malawi. For 10 days, I travelled with Lorraine Leach, who was training me to be the Overseas Projects Manager, and Henny Hanekom, who is the EHC Anglo-Africa Director. The purpose of our trip was to evaluate EHC's famine relief projects in Mazuzu, Malawi. We stayed in Johannesburg at our EHC office for a few days before starting our journey to Malawi. On the way to our famine relief projects in Mazuzu, we stopped at Blantyre in Malawi to spend some time at an orphanage for children affected by AIDS. I have to admit that I was very nervous about the flight into Malawi. Over and over I told myself there was no point in worrying, but a part of me still did. I had heard about the little African planes and did not really want to ride in one, but we did and we arrived safely on the 5th of July. Our first stop was Blantyre. When we stepped off the plane, the runways were surrounded with people. We happened to be on the same flight as the president, so there was red carpet and people everywhere. Out the front of the airport was a gospel choir singing in their beautiful African voices. I knew I was in Africa. We were picked up by a lady, Annie, who had started the AIDS orphanage called Kondanani Children's Village, where we were about to visit and spend the night. At the first set of traffic lights, 5 or 6 children and an elderly lady ran to our car window begging for food. They were very dirty and very, very thin. With tears in my eyes, I gave them all that I had with me, a packet of nuts. This was my introduction to Malawi. Before we reached the orphanage, we stopped at a hospital to visit 2 babies from the orphanage who were HIV positive and now had full-blown AIDS. I thought my heart had broken. I had never seen a child so small and so extremely thin. I thought I was watching a World Vision ad. All of a sudden, it hit me just how real the children on these ads are. This was such a precious life, and it was literally wasting away. This baby was only skin on a skeletal frame. Over and over, I told myself to be strong and to stay focused, but inside I broke. Even as I write this, I have tears remembering the pain in this child's eyes. I was amazed to learn that out of the 11 million people in Malawi, 1 in 3 adults have AIDS, and these are only the ones tested. I had only seen the effects of AIDS in 1 child. There were thousands more. Annie told us that she had her nurses tested for AIDS, and 16 out of 20 were HIV positive. This disease truly is destroying the country. It's killing people by the literal scores. Nelson Mandela has recently said that AIDS is claiming more than the sum total of all wars, famines and floods and the ravages of such a deadly disease such as malaria. We left the hospital and drove to the children's orphanage. I was amazed at how much one person could do. The property was beautiful. There were buildings, gardens and dogs everywhere. Annie started the orphanage 5 years ago, encountering many, many difficulties, yet she persevered. Her husband's family attempted and nearly succeeded in beating her to death, trying to get rid of her, yet she lived and was not deterred in doing the Lord's work. If anyone is interested in hearing Annie's testimony, we can send it to you. When the children at the orphanage saw us, they ran and hugged us. One girl clinging so tightly to me, I just wanted to bring her home. I couldn't believe the estimation that these kids were only expected to live until they were 7 years old. Since being there in July, I know of a few that have recently passed away. I had done some research on Malawi before I left, and I read that it was one of the poorest countries in the world. When I arrived, I really believed it was true. There was not even a cinema or anywhere to eat. There was honestly nothing. I saw men, women and children smashing rocks against rocks to make gravel, just for some sort of income. After listening to Annie's testimony, meeting her husband Louis and eating some dinner, we drove to the baby's orphanage. Once I saw these children, I couldn't imagine anyone abandoning them, but life truly is desperate in Malawi. Families cannot afford to feed their own children. One baby we saw had just been abandoned the previous day outside a church. Another was so little I couldn't stop staring. His head was the size of my four fingers when put together, smaller than my palm. I had never seen anything like it. This baby had full-blown AIDS. I felt so sad, but knew sadness wouldn't achieve anything. So I prayed instead that the Lord would show me, show us what we can do. I had seen such a great need in the children the Lord loves so, so dearly. I became unsatisfied with the way I was living. I wanted to do so much more. I was exhausted by the end of the day. I slept 12 hours straight. When I woke at 6:30 a.m., I found there was no shower, just a bath, but you have to light a fire near the tank to get hot water. I knew I was definitely in Africa. We flew out that day, taking two different 12-seater planes to get to Mazuzu, where EHC has the food security projects. From the air we saw many different villages, all with straw-thatched huts. It seemed a very flat and barren land, but coming closer to Mazuzu, it was quite mountainous. Both flights were extremely turbulent, and my body didn't handle it very well. I arrived feeling extremely sick, but there was no time for resting. In Mazuzu, we were greeted by Simon Masawoya, our director in Malawi. He was ecstatic, his wife Betty just being taken to the hospital to have a baby, their first child. Simon was so passionate about what he was doing with God's help and is very skilled in food security. It was interesting to hear about the people that were turning to Christ and the methods of evangelism being used. We learned that much of the country is involved in witchcraft. Most of the people have seen the power of the devil and they need to see the power of God. The next day we went to visit the EHC food security projects. I had one of the best days of my life just seeing how the people are using opportunities they are given. They had truly been empowered and given hope. They have been given tools to change their lives, and they were using them. Let me start at the beginning of this very full day. We left an hour and a half late, which is African time. The high ute didn't start. It had no suspension. The petrol tank was under our seat, so the fumes came inside the ute, and there were puddles and dirty water on the floor. The scary bit was when the brakes started burning, going down a very steep road towards Lake Malawi. I knew it would be an interesting day. We drove past many police checkpoints, and I was surprised by the machine guns that the police carried carelessly. We passed many villages, grass huts, and baboons on the road, many women carrying buckets of water on their heads, nearly all with babies strapped on their backs, and many men on bikes. EHC have food security projects in two places in northern Malawi, the Rumphi province and the Korongai province. These are what we went to evaluate. Since going in July, we have had a proposal accepted by AusAid to begin a three-year project of a similar nature. AusAid are giving us Australian $150,000 over the three years, which is approximately £61,000, and EHC must raise the same amount. Our first-year project, which we went to evaluate, has just concluded, and our second project has just begun. We visited four farms in total and were amazed, encouraged and inspired by how little the people live with but how much they do with the little they have been given. It is amazing what people can do when they are given an opportunity. Malawi is moving into its third year of food shortage. 28% of the people live in extreme poverty. If you are earning over US$2 a day, then you are above the poverty line. It is stated that 54% live below this line. However, Simon, our Malawi director, believes in reality it is closer to 80%. A famine has devastating effects as 90% of income for Malawi is from agriculture. It's the worst hunger crisis in 50 years, affecting three-quarters of the 11 million people in Malawi. So when I say that the people live with little, believe me, they truly do. Our project targeted starving farmers in 75 different villages. It aims to address the farmers' lack of knowledge of modern farming, storage and irrigation technologies. It is because of these issues that the farmers cannot produce crops with a high yield. We have supplied many farmers with training along with treadle pumps and ploughs. The farmers come together for training on a plot of land, then go back to their own land and use methods they have learnt. Many are making enough food that they can now feed their families. Many are also earning an income from selling their produce. 3 or 4 hours later, we arrived at our first stop. The first farm we went to was a training farm. When we arrived, the whole family was working on the farm. I was touched when we came to the second farm. The whole village had come together in their best clothes and had set up a meeting with us under a big tree with grass mats. After introductions and a few speeches, what really struck me was their cry for help. To quote a farmer, he said, "Now I can see that you really are Christians, because you cared." They were so proud to show us their fields and what they had achieved. Their homes are made from mud, brick and straw, the soil is red, and children came running from everywhere to see these white people. They have done a great job, worked hard, and are producing crops to keep them and their families from starving, but also giving them a livelihood. There were 43 orphan children in this village alone. The village had just started a school for these children, as they could now provide for them. After this, we drove to the Toowoonga Women's Group, Toowoonga meaning thank you. We were greeted by 8 women singing, clapping and dancing around us, welcoming and thanking us. The women took us to a tiny room where they shared with us through a translator what they had learned and done through the program and how the Lord had touched them, the women continually breaking into beautiful African praise songs. We went to their farm, their joy and thankfulness overwhelming me. Through their farming and mud brick ovens, these women have made food such as donuts, scones and peanut brittle that they now sell at the markets for an income. With the profit they raise, they are looking after the orphan children. In this village, EHC runs nutritional and basic healthcare classes for the women. Through these classes, the women learn what crops are best to grow and how these will benefit them and their children. The last farm we went to was extremely remote. It was called the Sanambi section. We drove an hour down a rough dirt track. These people were the poorest of the poor. They were very primitive, eating flowers and cassava straight out of the root in the ground. One girl I met was just 20. She'd been married since age 14 and had 2 children. The women sung and danced as we walked to their farms with them. They have done an amazing job using great initiative. So amazing that this village was chosen as a site for Malawi's National Field Day, as a good example of agriculture and what can be achieved. The people in this village built a canal 3 kilometres long to connect the river to the land. They had so much water left over that they built 5 fish farms with it. The children in this village were very thin, many with malnourished, bloated stomachs, and many without any clothes at all. It amazed me how life is about survival, especially when in the midst of famine. After this village, we drove back to our hotel, a very long drive after a very fulfilling day. This trip showed me just how much EHC is changing people's lives through the practical work of sharing Christ. It really struck me how God values life, no matter whose. He values those in Malawi every bit as much as he values any person in this country, and so should we. There really is nothing better than seeing people empowered and given hope. They now had the power to begin changing their circumstances. As we were leaving Mazuzu to drive 5 hours back to the airport, we met Bromwell. He is a 61-year-old man who rides his bicycle village to village, preaching Christ for no income at all. When we met Bromwell, he had just ridden 70 kilometres to bring the EHC report to Simon, so we can bring it to you. There are 100 others like him. I realised just how wide the impact of EHC goes. Nothing seems to go according to plan in Africa. You just have to be ready for anything. But I can tell you that I've been changed from my experience there. I've been to Africa twice before this trip, but it was this trip that left the greatest imprint on me. I was challenged to be more generous, to give, not to just know what is happening. Knowledge is useless unless you use it for the good of others. I was touched by how simple life is there, but how desperate. I couldn't believe how hard life is for the people of Malawi, how hard they work, yet the joy they carried. I was challenged by it. My trip to Malawi was a great eye-opener. Please let me thank those who gave to the Malawi Famine Appeal. The people in Malawi asked me to send their thanks to you also. You have helped save lives that were perishing. You who gave have helped to give hope to the truly hopeless. Let me thank you for that and ask you to continue giving to the poor and needy. They truly are in need. We have a Christmas appeal for Malawi as people are still starving. Please let me ask you to give with an open heart. Know that I have met these people, that they really are in need, and that they have nothing besides what you will give to them. So please give generously, not out of obligation, but because you care. You can have a wider impact this Christmas than you realise.